Welcome to Inside Soup Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. And today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Lillian Desjardins. She is the author of The Imprint Journey, a path of lasting transformation to the authentic self. Our conversation today is going to take us to understanding how our imprints, passed down for generations and generations, how they shape our thoughts and actions. Lillian will be giving us personal examples, which many of us will be able to identify with. And in the end, she's going to explain to us how we can reprogram ourselves by changing our own belief system. But first, a little bit about Lillian. Lillian Desjardins was born in Croatia and educated in Paris, France. She is a certified clinical addiction specialist, and she's also renowned for her highly successful and innovative work with the Desjardins Unified Model of Treatment of Addiction. She is the co-founder of Pavilion Gilles Desjardins in Valdivia, Quebec, Canada, a center for treatment of addiction interaction disorder. And she's also a co-founder of Pavilion International, a center for substance treatment in North Carolina. Lillian has 32 years of experience in clinical work. Hi, Lillian.
Hi, Irene.
Well, this gives me a real pleasure to talk to you because this is such an important topic. And really, you are on the cutting edge. There's just very little that has been talked about, very little that has been discussed or researched. You know, we can talk about imprinting, but this goes back to animals or birds. But really, not much has been done on humans.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree.
Yeah, and so it's really important for our listening audience to know exactly what is an imprint when we're talking about people.
Well, I can illustrate that in two ways. For instance, have you ever been in a situation you find so painful and embarrassing that you told yourself, I will never make this mistake again, only to find yourself a few days, a few weeks, or a month later repeating the same mistake? The people and places may be different, but the results were the same. Or I can say, did you ever, after ending a really bad relationship, swear you will never get yourself into another one like that, only to find out that your next relationship is the same or worse? But I think that where we can really see our imprints the best is if we have said to ourselves that perhaps, or to, even to our friends, that we will never be like our parents. And we were so sure, I mean, I was so sure I would never say the things they said nor act the way they acted. Well, surprise, one day you hear yourself talking to your child and you sound and look and just exactly like your parents. History has been repeated. The rational mind knows better. So how can we still do it? That's an imprint. So what are imprints? Imprints are our deep-seated beliefs and perceptions. They're the subconscious motive for our behavior and our choices. Imprints are the emotional map. They contain our value system, and they are the basis of our emotional intelligence. One of the very important parts is that imprints are a determining factor in our ability to relate to others. They are also our genetic encoding, and they are the internalized environmental, familial messages that we received. And scientifically, they are the hardwired neural connections in our brain. Today, we know that all this can be undone because with all the studies about neuroplasticity of the brain and so on, we can rewire it. But as long as we don't know that it's even there, because that's the imprints are the hidden part. They are the subconscious part. They are the deep-seated beliefs that you have internalized, and you are the last one to know. They begin with the genetic coding we are given at the moment of conception, and I developed through life with many experiences, messages, and moments along the journey. Once an imprint is internalized, it becomes the subconscious governing force in our life. And I don't care where we come, whether we come from the best of families or the most dysfunctional families, we all have positive imprints that we have received, and we have a bunch of negative ones that we have received. And I can also illustrate that through some of my very own, if you would like.
Yes, please do.
There were a few things in my family when I'm growing up that are very important. One was the time factor. I'm growing up during World War II, so those are hard times. They are the war times. My parents struggle and go through through the hard periods that any war produces. So what happens is that my mother never has time. She is always busy, and she has no time for me. And my father is busy or gone. And as a matter of fact, later on, as I talk about it in my book, he was even taken to a concentration camp in Germany. So he has no time for me. And the common belief in my family is that there is never enough time. And I'm quite sure that a lot of your readers can identify with the fast-paced life today. We don't have time. So how I have internalized, unfortunately, the time factor is that I'm not good enough. People don't want to be with me. I'm not worthy of their time. And time meant presence and love, and I didn't have it. So, of course, I didn't develop the intellectual boundary, and I could come to you with the greatest of ideas. And if you, and as a matter of fact, I had an associate who would do that. He would just look at his watch, and that meant he doesn't have time. My idea is not worthy, and I would kind of go on automatic pilot and disappear. My self-esteem was tied into other people's time management, and until I became aware of my imprint, time was a huge struggle in my life. I always had more stuff to do than time, and I would always have a problem asking people to give me some time. So that was one important one. The other one was food. And I come from a family where my father and my mother don't come from the same background. So therefore, their own imprints regarding food and nutrition were very, very different. My dad's role modeling and messages and rules about food and eating were that there's not enough food, we don't waste food, you must eat everything that's on your plate. So my imprint is not enough food. Food is in scarcity. And it was easy to believe that during the war, but that was carried out even later. So another one of his was tomorrow there might not be any food. So the imprint was fear and hoarding. There are people starving and you do not want to eat. Shame on you.
Uh-huh.
So
I heard that one.
Guilt and shame. You can relate
uh-huh.
to it. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And eat, don't talk. Silence your feelings. So if I didn't like something or could not eat, my dad forced me until I would get sick. And my negative imprint about food coming from him was it's lack, not enough. Food is punishment. Food is fear. And for years in my life, I ate as fast as possible to get away from the table. I hardly chewed my food. I just swallowed it down without tasting it. I wanted to avoid tasting food that was distasteful to me, and I wanted to get away from punishment. On the other hand, my mother, her role modeling and messages about food are very positive. Even in the hard times of war, when food was scarce, she had a great talent to prepare wonderful little treats and serve them in an appealing and loving way. She was a great hostess. My mother's view of food was a family gathering, beautiful set tables, and having people and wonderful conversations. So my imprint from her was that food is joy, beauty, and sharing, conversation. It's socializing. There is a nurturing element in it, and joyful. So I was split between my parents, and I developed a love-hate relationship with food, as well as an eating disorder that varied between overeating, anorexia, and bulimia.
Wow.
So I had a positive imprint on one side,
mm-hmm.
but was overridden by the negative imprint from my father because he was the enforcer of rules in the home.
So is this the enforcer then that overrides, or is it the negative that overrides the positive?
It all depends. It all depends. You cannot make a general rule, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it is, because in Croatia, where I grew up,
uh-huh.
The man is the authority.
Ah.
Okay? So automatically, his imprint will override even the positive. Although I have absorbed both of them, and to this day, my imprint from my mother, the positive one, is there. It's a gem, and food is joy. I love preparing it. I love serving it well. I love the company. I enjoy being a good hostess.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side was the birth of my eating disorders. And I had kind of the same thing going on with money. Those were the three biggies in my life. In my financial area, money was crucial. My father came from poverty and the Great Depression. And his role modeling was fear, financial insecurity, over-responsibility, lack, and not enough money. His main message through life was that money does not grow on trees. You must work very hard for it. It's a struggle. It's always a struggle. You must hide it and be secretive about it because somebody can take it away from you. And others will take it away from you. So the message was, don't trust. You don't know how to handle money. You will always squander everything. That was a repetitive message. You must save and deprive yourself. You never know what may happen. You don't need that. Why do you think you are? Who do you think you are?
Oh, I can relate to that one.
Men handle money.
Uh-huh.
His positive imprint was you must have financial integrity and pay all your bills on time. Now, my mother came from a middle-class family where education, travel, arts, and creativity were important. She was raised to earn the money, and even in the hard times of war, she was working and producing an income. She was not preoccupied with saving, but with making the money and doing creative things with it. The two role models were so opposite, and the messages have shaped my perception of money as well as my relationship with money. My big financial imprint was it was a world of lack, scarcity, and not enough. You must work very hard. It's about struggle and deprivation. Art and creativity are not productive. Money is power. Money is security. Money is happiness. Money is freedom. And the source of money is prosperity is my paycheck and my work. That's where the money comes from. There's no other way. So for years, if I bought something for myself, I felt guilty, feeling that I'm squandering and being irresponsible. But if I didn't buy it, I felt deprived, punished, and I feared lack of money. And yet, at the same time, like my mom, I have worked all my life. I have produced money and was always involved in very creative work. However, during my 18 years in liturgical arts, I felt unproductive. My imprint said art and creativity are not productive. I got won the first prize in liturgical arts, and I couldn't own it because that's not being productive. Like my dad, I have financial integrity. All my bills are always paid on time. But for years, I had an exhausting relationship with money. I was on a spinning wheel, working hard, making money, spending it, fearing not having it, working more, making more, and repeating the same pattern but expecting a different result. So that's, in a nutshell, what really imprints do to us. They are this hidden, internalized message that unless we uncover and become aware of, will continue to direct our lives. Now,
go ahead.
The positive imprints, of course, are as important as the negative ones, except that the positive do not create problems in our lives. Some of my very, very positive imprints from my mom, for instance, was creativity. My imprint on creativity, that it's essential. It's beauty expressed. It's the sweetness of life, and it's a powerful communication. And that flowed in all my work that I ever done. Resourcefulness was another one. My imprint, contained within the problem is the solution. I mean, she said it so many times. And with patience and perseverance, you'll find it. And it was like a rule. These become the rules, the voices in our head, the positive as well as the negative. So that's what, in a nutshell, imprints are. Now, do you have any other questions?
I do, and it's like, whoa, what an explanation. And I really appreciate all the examples, and I know that our listening audience will be able to relate to, you know, really think about this and relate to their own experiences. So my question is about the generational, and I'm thinking, okay, so let's take your father, for instance, and he was in the war and, you know, all the stuff that was happening at that time. But did he create that imprint himself during that time because of all the issues that were going on at that time? Or was this something that was passed on from him?
Passed on. Oh, most of my father's fears have been passed on by his parents. And again, you know, whether there is dysfunction in the background. His father happened to be an alcoholic and a gambler and so on. So he definitely, my dad's experience to his own father is that money is squandered, that it is, you know, uselessly used. But definitely, on both sides of my parents, the imprints were generational, passed on from one generation to the other. As a matter of fact, imprints are not just familial or genetic, because genetic imprints, the resemblance to a parent, certain mannerisms, certain predisposition to certain illnesses. In my husband's family, nobody produces the good cholesterol. They're all on medication, and this is genetic, okay? But you have the familial imprints, and then you have all the environmental imprints, cultural, societal, religious. And sometimes, in certain cases, they are really all put together. I remember I was raised in a Catholic family. And as a matter of fact, my maternal aunt, my mom's sister, is to this day of a nun. And my entire belief system about God at one point changed when my dad was taken into concentration camp. The bishop of my hometown, 3 days later, was blessing the German troops in front of the cathedral. And I so vividly remember, until then, my faith, my understanding of God, and my grandmother had so many beautiful stories she would tell me about angels and so on. Well, that day, God became a problem, because God was for the Germans, and the Germans were going to kill my dad. And an entire imprint about religion went in and became a huge problem in my life. And later on, in Croatia, when the communists came to power, they said that God doesn't exist. So they have just reinforced my very own behavior, because when something is against, to avoid it, right? So my cases might be very extreme, but I have clients through the 32 working in that clinical setup. I will never forget one of our clients. This was a lady that came from a wonderful family. She was a success. Her parents were very successful. These were high-profile people belonging to the right clubs, the right church. But she always had this nagging feeling that no matter how much she does, she's not good enough. And that no matter how much she accomplishes, it's not enough, and she has to be perfect. And one of her big fears is that God will not love her enough because she's a sinner and she's not perfect enough.
Mm.
Well, when she went deeper and she realized how the religious and familial imprints got hooked together, because her parents, being very, very successful people, have raised the bar so high, and their expectations of her were perfection. Her religion expected of her perfection, and she could never measure up, and she could never get to the point of some self-love. It was absolutely touching the day that she called me and she says, "I got it, I got it. God does love me." She had to change her whole imprint and belief system around that. So imprints attack, I mean, they can really, touch every area of our lives. And some, like you said, are genetic, some are generational, simply given from one generation to another. In 2004, I went with my husband back to Croatia for a visit. We were on vacation. And in those days, when I was growing up, it was the Federative Republic of Yugoslavia. So if you wanted to go to Bosnia, there were absolutely no limitations. You didn't need a passport. Well, I wanted to take my husband to see Mostar and some other places in Bosnia that were so beautiful. And we had really a shock when we saw the devastation that the war of the 1990 has created. And we saw the French troops and the American troops. And these troops are babysitting centuries, absolute centuries of hatred that has been passed from generation to generation. And when you see the devastation, then you really see what imprints do to people. Imprints are about culture, about we have the truth, we are the right ones, and you are the not good ones, and so on. So we need to wake up. In this century, if we want to overcome the current challenges in society, we need to wake up.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Wow, hasn't this been interesting so far? As you have heard, Lillian is very knowledgeable and presents us cutting-edge information about her imprints and how they affect our lives. So stay tuned, because there's just so much more. And in the end, you'll learn from Lillian tools for reprogramming. Lillian's website is LillianDesjardins.com.
And so tell me, how are we going to wake up? How do we reprogram all these imprints that have passed down the tape of generations?
Well,
how can we as individuals?
My hope is that Imprint Journey gets translated into many languages, and I believe that the big reason why I wrote that book was so that it becomes a tool that gives people a roadmap on how to identify the imprints and how to change them. The core action steps to transformation are awareness, becoming aware. If you think about it, the time of the day that we spend on autopilot,
mm-hmm.
how many times do we drive and we don't even remember what we saw on the drive? So becoming aware of what's going on is one is step one, and then admitting our point of departure, discovering what really is inside of me, what my beliefs are, what my perceptions are, what my imprints are, then admitting where I am so that I can start changing. Denial is really not a river in Egypt. And we all have our, defense mechanisms, whether it's minimizing or it's not so bad. I mean, some people third relationship, but it's not so bad. And it wasn't their fault. It's the spouse's fault. It's at all levels, whether we go chips or we go into our government or we go into different cultures, it's the same thing. We all have them. Third step is releasing, becoming willing to let go of it. It's a story that we've been telling ourselves over and over. And the story really doesn't have much to do with us. And it will require, as another step, the willingness to change. Change is such a funny thing. We all know that change is a consistent element in everybody's life, and yet we all resist change. Let me just keep things as they are, and let me repeat the same stuff, but maybe that this time I'm going to get a different result. So when you do this, and then the fifth step is radical forgiveness. I got to forgive myself and anybody else that in my story I have blamed or thought that they did it to me. I remember how I had to forgive everyone that I have considered responsible for all my miseries. Because if I don't forgive, resentment and anger are like the cup of poison. I'm drinking it, but I expect you to die from it. It's not going to happen. So forgiveness is another one of the essential things that we need to do in order to reprogram. But as a result, we start having a shift in self-perception. And instead of seeing ourselves as a victim and seeing ourselves as, as someone without choices, we shift that perception. And I cannot give you now the whole book in one interview, but there is really a whole chapter about it. And then revelations start to follow. There are other steps we need to practice, and that is gratitude. Gratitude, I mean, as much as forgiveness is a dissolvent, it dissolves other feelings, as much as gratitude is an energizer. You cannot be grateful and, being in self-pity at the same time. And there is a big difference between grief and self-pity. Grief is a genuine, legitimate feeling of loss, sadness, that needs to be addressed. But if it's not addressed, if it's not processed, it is going to turn into victimhood and into self-pity. The tools, the most remarkable tools that we can use to change our imprints are meditation, visualizations, affirmations. We always have an inner talk going on in our heads, whether it's your negative self-talk or whether it will be an affirmative and positive self-talk. And we are the only ones that have the freedom to choose and the ability to choose to what are we going to listen inside. And then this whole work is about building and maintaining consciousness. Am I going to go through the rest of my life on the automatic pilot, kind of mechanical, or am I going to wake up and become conscious of what goes on and then build my consciousness so that I can truly express the best of me? Because, Nori Huddle has done a tremendous research when she researched the butterfly, the metamorphosis of the butterfly. And exactly like the caterpillar that finally dies in the chrysalis when the imaginal cells of the butterfly start multiplying at such a speed, the caterpillar's immune system thinks that these are enemies, so it eats them. Those cells multiply more and more, and finally the caterpillar surrenders. The caterpillar lets go, and the butterfly cells become aware that they are the butterfly. Beyond all this negative imprinting, all of us are much bigger and much more. Our imaginal cells contain our divine imprint. Because beyond any human message that you have received, there is the divine imprint that, the breath of life. As we breathe, what do we breathe? We breathe something. None of us thinks how many times a minute they're going to breathe and how many times a minute our heart is going to beat. There is such a wisdom, innate wisdom within our imaginal cells. Is contained our DNA, our spiritual DNA. So in that sense, we are going to have to practice affirmation, visualization, building the consciousness, and acceptance of love. Love is the way, and this is who we are. And only that can then erase the negative imprints, and that will also allow to empower all the positive imprints that you have received. Because with positive imprints, many times we do good things, but we're not aware of them. So we cannot claim them as our own. We cannot claim a talent. We cannot claim a skill. We think we're just lucky. When in truth, it is ours. And only then does that have power. So that's, again, in a nutshell, how you do it. But it takes work and practice.
Yes, it is work and practice. Listening to you, Lillian, I feel like I've just been at a workshop. And I'm sure that our listeners are feeling the same way, and I just, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this again because there's just so much, and I feel that that's what's going to happen to our listeners too. And I just want to really thank you for coming in, giving us this information as to, what are reimprints? How do they, where do they come from? And you using your own experience, we can parallel with that. Maybe not necessarily exactly the same way, but we come from different cultures and different societies, but there's still that imprint that is passed down. And thank you so much for giving us a glimpse into the imprint.
I thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and this is my passion.
I know.
So whenever you want to go into any of the specifics of it, what do we do, for instance, with imprints? Well, behavior is at 4 level, right? Thinking, feeling, doing, and physiologicing. So when I have an imprint, what do I do at the behavioral level? I can think one thing, feel another thing, and then do a totally different thing.
Yes.
So that is where it's really fun to discover them so that we can change our doing.
And, we can change. We certainly can change, and we can stop that imprint, and we don't have to pass it down to the next generation.
Exactly.
And that's so important when we become aware of what has been passed down and what we caught up in.
That's right.
And we put that stop. And So, listeners, there you go. This is Lillian Desjardins and her book, The Imprint Journey, A Path of Lasting Transformation to the Authentic Self. Her website address is LillianDesjardins.com, and I'm going to spell it to you, L-I-L-I-A-N-E, E-S as in Sam, J-A-R-D-I-N as in Nancy, S as in Sam.com. Check out her website because she has a lot of good stuff there. She's got affirmations. She's got a meditation that you can listen to. You can download it. She also has her events. She does workshops. The calendar shows them right for the end, to the end of 2011. And I know that when that's over, she's going to have another list of events for next year. So do check out her website. There's a lot of information and stuff. There's ways to get a hold of her, and I do encourage you to buy this book, The Imprint Journey, A Path of Lasting Transformation to Authentic Self. I tell you, you'll read it, and you'll never, ever be the same. Thanks, Lillian.
Thank you, Irene.
And this is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.